Memorial Day weekend. You're with family, whatever that looks like for you, at the city park or in your in-laws' backyard or at somebody's cabin on a lake. There are outdoor games. There's drinks in a cooler. And they're waiting to be spread out on red checkered plastic tablecloths spread on picnic tables. Is food. Could be almost any food, but in my family, and maybe in yours too, there's a good chance it's fried chicken. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman, and today on KCUR Central Standard, we mark the traditional kickoff of summer with a food show. We're talking fried chicken with our food critics, the best places in town to get it, the best ways to prepare it, the dishes you can make with it. It's not too soon to tweet at us with your favorites for fried chicken. We are at KCURCST. We also are talking with one local chef about this, and I've got this on good authority. He's got an amazing fried chicken recipe and a story of how he got it here to Kansas City. But we're starting today with an acknowledgement that there is other Memorial Day weekend food, and here for just a few minutes of tips on your own holiday grilling, or maybe griddling, is Lee Meisel. He owns Leeway Franks in Lawrence. Lee, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. So you sell mainly sausages, right?
Yeah, sausages, but we also sell whole animal cuts like chops and steaks, things like that.
So, you know, we're talking about chicken for the most part on the show today, but you sell sausages and pork in all its forms and steak. Make the case for the pig.
Make the case for the pig. The pig kind of makes its own case. They yield an incredible amount of diverse cuts. You can cure them. One pig is manageable for a family, so maybe a little bit more easy to get into than a side of beef or something like that. The usable portions. There's just so much going on with a pig. You could use literally every bit of it.
You got the bacon, you got the ham, you got the sausage.
And even when you get into the hocks can be cured and smoked and put those in your beans for soup. And, you know, the bones can be broken down for stock like we do at the restaurant. Yeah. Yeah. The pig is the king.
And at 10:08, we are hungry already. So, I mean, you cook these things at the restaurant for people who come in, but you also sell them so people can take them home and cook them.
Yeah, that's correct. We do a good amount of retail sales through the shop. We have a small display case where people can – there's always something in there that people can pick up.
So I want to talk about mainly for the home cooks today, the many people who will be grilling sausages or brats this weekend. Let's start with this question. What's the biggest thing people can do wrong?
Biggest thing people can do wrong. If we're just talking sausages, the biggest thing is they get them too hot too quick, or they get them on a not perfectly clean grill. That's another big mistake. You know, before cooking anything, you really got to know your equipment, and whether you're charcoal or gas on one of those sides of the debate, you still cook the same way, and you start with a clean surface. Handle the sausages carefully. I say handle them like eggs. They're delicate. You know?
Really?
Yeah. People think sausages are these rustic, you know, it's like just meat. Slap it on the grill. Throw it on the grill. I'm like, gently place them on the grill, you know.
Why does that matter?
It's just a level of care, you know. When you crack an egg, you know, you don't just throw it in the pan, you know. It's deliberate. It's delicate.
I mean, does it taste any different?
Well, if you pop the casings or something like that too early on, they'll dry out. Yeah, it does taste different.
So, I mean, it seems to me that one of the important things about grilling sausages or brats is going to be how the grill is set up in the first place. I go out there, I turn on all the burners. How hot should they be?
Well, you should go out there and turn on all the burners for a little while to preheat the grill and then clean it. After that, you should turn off one of the burners. If you have two, say, turn one of them completely off and then turn the other one on to medium-high heat. Now you've got your zonal cooking, I think a lot of people are familiar with. You got the cold side, that's your safe side. You got the hot side, and that's the danger side. And when you start sausages, a lot of people go over to that hot side, and they start turning them. And the best option is go over on the cool side. They should sit over there nice. Like, think of it like a little sauna over there. The sausages are just getting this little bit of air moving over them, and they're not being too disturbed.
You close the grill or you leave it open?
You could leave it open. If you're a vent cooker, you can certainly close them, just making sure that you know how your vents operate properly.
Okay. So if you've got them on the cool side, how long should they be there?
So I think most people think that sausages are quick, but to properly cook one, we're talking at least 20 minutes. So over on the cool side, safe side, keep them turning occasionally so you get good air movement over them. Give them at least 20 minutes.
That seems like forever.
But you could do other things while you're doing that. You know, you could. It's easily a one-handed job. So,
so the other hand, you can have a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems reasonable. How do you know when they're done? What's the temperature a good sausage should be?
So you should bring them up to 165, ground meat, things like that. Some people argue one way or the other. We just play it safe. People ask me all the time, well, how do I know when they're done? And I always tell them, you take their temperature. Mm-hmm. And most people then say, well, I don't have one of those things that tells temperature, a little thermometer. They're less than $10. You can get them ordered on Amazon. I mean, they're everywhere. It's just the safest bet is just know what the temperature is in there.
Just any meat thermometer.
Basically, the nice little digital ones are about the size of a nice pen. And they pull out. They got a little sleeve that they fit in. They can fit in your shirt pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Less than $15.
And then for a little more, you can get the ones that have a wire. You can stick them in.
Sure.
The digital readout outside.
You could go overboard and really geek out on the thermometer game if you wanted to.
and does it matter how you put the thermometer in the brat?
That's the biggest one is where people will probe, so to speak, perpendicular to the sausage. They just go straight in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not the best way to do it. It's ideal to go to one of the ends. If you have an extra long sausage and you need to get in the middle, you should make a shallow, you should poke it kind of at a shallow angle. So you're getting more into the meat of the sausage towards the center.
What happens if you just put it right in the middle?
Well, the problem is just getting an accurate reading. Sometimes you poke too far through, that center spot is easier to hit if you go a little bit more shallow.
So, how do you finish the perfect brat once it's got to that temperature?
So yeah, the brats are over there. They're looking nice. They're looking nice and shiny. Skin's intact. And then everyone's looking around like, when's this stuff coming off? You know, everyone's waiting. This is the moment. So right then, this is when the big show comes. You start moving them over to that fireside, that real hot, dangerous side. And they only sit in the danger zone for about a minute. Mm-hmm. And you turn them. You're going to start seeing that smoke and stuff popping up. And at this point, if you rip a couple casings or you get a little pop-throughs, it's no big deal because it's getting ready to be eaten. But what you do get is that really nice, crisp skin at the very end. And that's what gives you that snap with natural casings.
But you haven't lost the juiciness.
Still haven't lost the juiciness. The biggest problem with popping is when you pop too early. Then you just know that the moisture, all the fat, all the good stuff that's in sausage is coming out.
All right. So there's your perfect brats, your perfect sausages. But a lot of people are going to be going the burger route instead on Memorial Day. And I have been told something scandalous. You don't actually like to grill burgers.
Nope. Grill is an inferior... I'll probably take so much flack for this, but inferior method of cooking. A burger, that is.
Why?
I think burgers should be griddled either in a steel or cast iron pan, or even better, on a nice, thick, seasoned flat top griddle. Because you get surface area, anything that falls through the grates, all that fat, that dripping that you may really appreciate the aroma of, is actually moisture and fat that's coming out of the meat. So you're losing that in the finished product. I just love the taste of a knife. And, when you griddle a burger, it's almost basting in its own fat.
So the flame broiled quality, or the smell that comes from charcoal or whatever. No.
Well, there's something to that. A lot of it's nostalgia, a lot of it's memory driven. So, I will eat a grilled burger. I don't think it's the ideal. Now, if you are going to grill a burger, there's definitely a good way to go about that.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just admit fact. Some people are going to do this anyway, in
Absolutely.
Spite of your preference. So what should they do?
So I think a key with the grill, grilling a burger is the same with a sausage. You want to know your grill. Whichever method you use, charcoal, propane, you want your hot side and your cold side. The other thing that when you grill burgers, you want a nice form patty that isn't too overworked. You start overworking the meat. You see these guys pre-seasoning and adding stuff, making a mixture. It develops miosin in the meat, which is actually what makes sausage sausage. So
wait, it develops what?
Miosin. It's basically a chemical that makes proteins in the meat stick to themselves. So that's why when you taste sausage, it tastes very much like sausage in texture and flavor, whereas a burger should have a looser composition.
Oh, okay.
But you do want a nice, fairly formed patty. I go bigger for grilled, like third pound, I think, is ideal if you're just doing singles.
That's not too thick?
Well, you want to have a nice ratio that's going to cover your bun. And so depending on the size of the buns, and I like the larger, either egg or Kaiser rolls, then you poke a little divot on the underside of one of the patties after you form them. Use your thumb and go about, you know, 3/4 of the way through the patty. Then you season your patty. You don't season the mix. You season it as it goes on. And then you put it on the medium hot side to begin with. After you give it about a minute on that first side, minute and a half, it starts to look, you know, the meat's starting to pull up. It's starting to curl. Then you flip it back on that hot side or medium hot side. You really got to know what you're playing with because they can flame up really bad. Once you get that initial sear, then I like to move it over to the cool side. And then I like to flip it every 30 seconds or so just to redistribute all the juices that are in the burger and to slowly bring up the internal temperature to what I want.
Total cooking time on that then is what?
Less than the sausage.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 to 12 minutes, I'd say. Yeah, easy.
Last question. Do you put the cheese on the burger before you take it off the grill?
Absolutely. Cheese has to be melted on the burger.
Totally agree. That's Lee Meisel. He owns Leeway Franks in Lawrence. Lee, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
We are turning now to chicken, where Chef Charles DeBlon owns the Brookside Poultry Company down on 63rd Street. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Charles, you are a serious chef. You've worked all over the country at fancy restaurants. Fried chicken doesn't get thought of a lot as a fancy food, though. How did you get into chicken?
Well, I'll make a long story long. You know, I was at the working in a hotel, and a lady wanted fried chicken on the menu who stayed there all the time. And this was a nice place. It was listed in the Forbes Travel Guide. And I said, well, why not? I'll do fried chicken for you. You're here all the time. And so I did it and came up with a little bit different recipe. I used sour cream instead of buttermilk just because it's got the fat content in there. It's got everything that I like in cream and the buttermilk as well.
How did you end up in Kansas City?
Again, long story. No, kind of back and forth. I moved to Kansas City to help some folks open a restaurant when I was younger. I lived here for 2 to 3 years, started missing the East Coast. So I moved back. And then, you know, 2 to 3 years later, I started missing Kansas City. I said, well, that's weird. So I'll move back to Kansas City. Came back 2 to 3 years later, missed the East Coast, moved away again, started missing Kansas City again. So I moved back, and eventually I just stayed, met my wife, and settled down here.
Why chicken, though? I mean, I know you said you had one woman requested on the menu, but you know, you probably have been trained to cook a lot of entrees that people are more likely to think of as fine dining.
I like fried chicken, and I don't like people recommending me to places to go eat fried chicken because I like it so much, and then I get there, I eat it, and I'm like, it was okay. I wanted a place where people could come and eat the fried chicken and say, man, this is great. This is real fried chicken.
Is fried the way you most like to eat chicken?
That is.
How else do you prepare it?
Well, we'll roast it at the restaurant or I'll roast it at home. Obviously putting a nice brine on it for a couple, 2-3 days. And funny story about the brine that I use at the restaurant is Renee Kelly, hello, at Harvest. I was working with her, and we left our chickens in our brine for way too long one time, 2 to 3 days too long.
Oh.
And roasted the chickens off. We're like, well, we'll roast them and use them for a special. This should be fine. Some of the best chicken either of us had ever eaten. And so that's how we came up with that.
So tell us more about that brine. A lot of people, I think of buttermilk fried chicken, but that's not what you use. You use sour cream, you said.
Well, I like to use sour cream, like I said, because it's got everything that buttermilk doesn't have in it. You know, buttermilk's byproduct of making butter, and you make butter with cream. Sour cream is essentially cream that's been soured with some enzymes, and it sets up. So it's got the butter fat in there. It's got everything that, the buttermilk has in it, except it's got the fat content, and you really get that in the chicken once you brine it long enough.
The hotel that you were working at the time was the Raphael, right?
Correct.
And you said that when you put it on the menu, the woman who asked for it was not the only one who ordered it.
Yes, correct. It was probably our number two seller within a week, maybe 2 weeks of putting it on the menu, which is just absurd. But it told me how much people really appreciate good fried chicken.
And this is your recipe. So wherever you now put it on the menu, this is how you make it.
Correct.
Which now is the Brookside Poultry Company. A lot of folks probably haven't been there. How long have you been open?
4 months now.
And how's it going?
It's going crazy. can't keep enough chicken in the house. You know, dude, we're about a 40-seat restaurant, and it's just to the walls every day. So it's just been such a great response. I'm really humbled by how well it's worked.
You are not only yourself a fine dining chef, you have other fine dining chefs working with you. These are not short order cooks cooking the poultry. Is that necessary?
It's not necessary, but it creates that level of care for the food. We're not just frying chicken. We're trying to make something really good. And as any chef knows, if you treat your food poorly, you're going to get a poor product in the end.
So why are you doing this? Why are you doing a small chicken joint instead of the restaurant scene?
Because I wanted to eat good fried chicken. I mean, really, really plain and simple. There was a lot of reasons behind it. A big reason was definitely quality of life and being able to watch my son grow up in front of me instead of at night when I get home. But really, it all comes down to I wanted good fried chicken. I wanted a place that was easily managed. So I opted for a smaller location. I was offered larger locations. I didn't want that. I'm tired of managing 40 people.
So how many do you manage now at Brookside Poultry Company?
Well, even though I have a small restaurant, we're up to about 15 people. So.
Well, business must be good. Do you cook different pieces of the chicken different ways, or is it pretty much all the same?
No, we really handle it all the same, whether it's chicken tenders, whether it's wings, breasts, thighs, whatever we're doing, it all sits in that brine for 2 days.
And why do you think people prefer one part of the chicken over another?
Well, it's funny that you should ask that, because I've turned a lot of people on to eating breast meat now who all, you know, chicken aficionado, I only eat the thighs. Okay, we'll try this breast because mm-hmm. It's really good. It's going to be dry. No, you know, it's not going to be dry because of the way we treat it. So you can go in there, you can get the breast or the thigh, whether you're a huge chicken lover or not. And I'll tell you, you're going to be really happy with both.
So say more of that. Breasts often are thought of as being the drier part of the chicken, but you're saying there's a way to prepare them so they're not.
Correct. And that's all got a lot to do with the brining process. So when you eat that breast, if you come into my restaurant and you cut that breast open, and it's kind of a fork and knife thing. I've taken the bone out of the thigh. I've taken the bones out of the breast. We leave one bone in the breast, which is the wing bone, just to give it some of that flavor as we're brining it. You can squeeze that chicken breast and, you know, looks like water running out of a napkin. It's fantastic.
Wow. You do still sell the roast chicken too.
I do. Roast chicken, roast ducks. Had to do the ducks.
And how is that, how's that a different experience for the eater?
Well, you just don't get that very often in this town. You know, when they moved Chinatown Market years and years ago, they used to do Peking ducks or Peking duck. And I used to go down there once a week and get it when I lived downtown. They moved it. They stopped doing the Peking duck. So I said, well, I got to have ducks on the menu because I want crispy duck. And so we throw those on the spits with the chicken and sell them out every day.
Obviously, there are some people who won't make it into the restaurant. There are people who want to make the kind of fried chicken you're talking about at home without, potentially losing business. What does the home chef of fried chicken need to know?
Well, you don't really need to know a lot. 350 is the wrong temperature for your oil, so get that out of your head now because that's what everybody talks about, 350. I go about 320.
Really?
With my cooking oil, because you're gonna fry it a little slower. It's not going to absorb all the grease because we aren't putting a big breading on it. We're pulling it out of the brine. We're draining it a little. We're dredging it a little seasoned flour, and that's it. You don't want to go too hot because it takes, 10 minutes. 10 minutes in 350 degree oil, you're going to dry out most of the outside. 10 minutes in 320 oil, you're going to get a nice cooked piece of chicken.
What do you think of the pressure cooker? I've had some amazing fried chicken out of a pressure cooker.
They do well. They're easy to screw up with, though. I love just an open pot or an open pan. 320 going to an open, so you can watch it, so you can touch it. It's really so much about touch. We don't temp our chicken when it comes out because we do so much of it. So, oh my God, we treat it like a steak. We pull it out, we give it a little poke, and feels done, it's done.
How will you be spending your Memorial Day, Charles?
This is the first one I've had off in years and years. I don't know.
Wow.
I have no plans
yet.
Will you
be eating fried chicken?
I will not be eating fried chicken.
That's Charles DeBlon, the owner of Brookside Poultry Company, who will not be eating fried chicken, but he'll be cooking it every other day of the week. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Now that we've got you good and hungry, let's be honest, it doesn't take much time to get hungry this time of the morning. We want to know where to go to get that amazing fried chicken besides Brookside. We still want to know your favorites, too. It's a long list that our food critics have as well. Call us at 816-235-2888 with your picks, or tweet at us. We're at KCURCST. We'll have your choices and our food critics too when KCUR Central Standard continues. I'm Brian Ellison. Stay with us. Welcome back to KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman. It's our food show, which means our food critics are here to talk about fried chicken today in all its manifestations and in all its glory. Charles Ferruza is with us as always. Charles, hello.
Hello.
Good
Thank
to
you.
See you. And Mary Block from Around the Block. Hello, Mary.
Good morning.
And Jenny Vergara, contributing editor for Feast Magazine. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you guys again. And I want to start with you, Charles. It's a little bit surprising to see how much fried chicken is out there in Kansas City. We think of Kansas City as a steak and barbecue kind of town, but you can get fried chicken at quite a lot of places.
Well, and you always have been able to get fried chicken, even though, you know, yeah, we're a meat and potatoes town. Fried chicken is popular because it's inexpensive, usually, and it tastes good, and it's historically popular because it travels well. It's just as good cold as it is hot.
Mm-hmm. And it's just as good to go as it is sitting in a restaurant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jenny, is there something different about eating fried chicken in a restaurant, though?
You know, I always kind of struggle with this, fried chicken in a restaurant, because it is one of those things where it's a bit messy to make at home and can be, I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be a little troublesome to make at home. So it's one of those things where you would normally want to get it at a restaurant where it's no muss, no fuss. But when it comes to the table, is it knife and fork or is it pick up and you eat with your hands?
Yeah, Charles DeBlon, who was just here from Brookside Poultry Company, said that it's all knife and fork at his place. They don't really expect people to eat it with their hands.
Hmm. I'm not good with knife and fork with a chicken, so I tend to avoid it, unfortunately, or get something that I don't have to...
Or use a different vehicle and put it on a sandwich. Fried chicken sandwiches are a big deal
Or tenders,
now.
I guess.
Yeah. I think the last time I hosted with you guys, we talked about ribs, and I think I confessed that I don't like getting my fingers all messy, which is kind of a barrier with a lot of fried chicken dishes. Mm-hmm. Mary, people have different expectations about what the perfect piece of fried chicken is like. So when you are sitting in judgment of the drumstick and breast in front of you, what are you assessing?
Well, I like it to be crisp, not greasy. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are my two criteria.
Totally agree.
And not so thick that you bite in and you haven't even gotten to the chicken yet.
Mm. What? You don't like fried batter on bones?
Isn't that the best part?
To a certain extent, I guess. I honestly, I'll confess this right up front, I'm not a big fried chicken fan unless there's something else going on. There's no way you're going to get me to order fried chicken and mashed potatoes. But if it's hot chicken or if it's a fried chicken sandwich with, you know, lots of other flavors, I'm all in.
Maybe on a waffle.
And exactly, and with a waffle.
Well, we're asking our listeners to join this conversation today, even maybe a little earlier than usual, because I have discovered, friends, that people feel very passionate about their fried chicken in this town. So if you feel passionate about the chicken or the side dishes that come with it, the things it is served in, give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. We want to hear your favorite fried chicken in Kansas City and tell us why. Let's start with your number one choice, Charles Ferruza. What is the best fried chicken in Kansas City?
Oh, that's a tough one because fried chicken is really the most iconic comfort food for a lot of people, myself included. It's hard to narrow it down to one, but I will say my current favorite fried chicken in Kansas City is it's one of the places that they only have fried chicken one night or one day.
There's a lot of those, it seems like.
Exois, the French bistro in Brookside, has really a first-class all-American fried chicken on Tuesday nights only. It's a half-fried chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, and French gravy. And if you haven't had it, it's really a good fried chicken. It really is. It meets all of Mary's criteria, which is saying a lot. You know?
That it's crisp but not greasy.
Right. And it's very meaty. You're not biting into it's kind of an evanescent crust. And the flavors are all pretty incredible. You know, it doesn't take, you know, for me, when fried chicken starts tasting like fast food, it's out. It's off my list.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked that the number one fried chicken on your list is from a French restaurant. Doesn't seem like a French food.
I'm just a snob. What can I say?
Well, that's fair enough. Mary Block, what's your number one fried chicken?
I would say it's at EJ's Urban Eatery, which is in the West Bottoms.
Pardon me? Fairly new place.
It is. John Cedric Smith owns it, and he is doing hot chicken, which is a big... It's very trendy right now. It's based on Nashville hot chicken.
And hot is in the batter.
The batter, and then it's coated usually with kind of a hot sauce too. So when this one comes out, it's a deep red, dark. You can tell there's something else going on.
I'm speaking for Brian here. Is it messy?
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, but not too messy. Okay. You can have napkins.
Okay.
And at EJ's Eatery, it's just a weekend special, but it's worth going down there for. You can order it mild or hot damn.
Well, watch your language, Mary.
Hot damn is the way I like it, uh-huh. With pickles and Texas toast. It's really satisfying.
Yeah, it's and how hot is hot damn? Is it for people who don't know if they're sure about spicy food?
It's fairly hot, but okay. It's you got to try it once.
All right, so EJ's Urban Eatery is Mary's favorite, and Jenny Vergara, what's the number one fried chicken in Kansas City?
Oh well, the pressure's on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say for me right now, it's probably Charles Diabling, who was on earlier. Brookside Poultry Company is one of them. But I'll go ahead and I'll give a shout out also to Black Dirt. I think they're doing a nice job with Jonathan Justice is doing a nice job with his fried chicken. He just launched his lunch menu, and he's got chicken tenders on his lunch menu that come with, I believe it's either fries or a salad, or you can kind of upgrade and get a more substantial salad or soup with it, if I think for a little bit of an upcharge. But I'm excited to see his lunch menu and go in and try some of those things. But these chicken tenders are on there, and it's really, really good, really satisfying.
I want to say that Charles DeBlong's fried chicken is truly worth talking about. It is really tender and really crunchy and really good.
Well, I like the fact that he's just focusing on
chicken.
Well, yeah. Bird in general, but rotisserie chicken and fried chicken. And I have to tell you, I like his fried chicken maybe even more than what's happening in the rotisserie at the moment. I mean, really? I just think his crust is really, really good.
And I want to say fabulous chicken salad.
Yeah. Well, if you do good chicken, you should do good chicken salad. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Those should go hand in hand. So
he uses a sour cream brine. He was telling us. Mm-hmm. Do we know of other places that do that as well?
Well, that's the drawback for me. I'm not totally into his sour cream marinade. Or I still think the best brine one can have for chicken is buttermilk. It has a sour quality that really, I think, translates well to that meat. And sour cream is just too fattening.
There is something as such a thing as over-brined chicken. Yeah. And usually it's some sort of liquid. It's just been brined in water and salt and spices.
Or water and maple syrup or
and
something.
And you can really tell. The chicken holds the water and gets real mushy. Uh-huh. So, yeah. But I like buttermilk for that reason and sour cream for the same reason. So.
Well, we have lots of other places to get through, but we want to hear from you as well. 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888 with your picks for the best fried chicken in Kansas City. Let's talk to Tom in Mission Hills. Hello, Tom.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks.
Anna's Oven, 39th Street, Friday night, the chicken special.
It's a comfort food kind of place, and fried chicken is definitely a comfort food. What do you like about Anna's?
I think it's great fried chicken. It's a great taste. It's fresh. They give you a huge serving, and it's worth going back for. Other than Ten House, it's the best fried chicken I've had.
All right.
I don't know anything about brining or any of the other stuff you've just talked about, but it has a great taste.
You don't know why it's good, but you know it's good.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Tom. He called us at 816-235-2888. I'm going to tell you my favorite. Can I tell you my favorite?
Please.
I don't usually get to be a food critic on the show, but I'm going to tell you that I know it's a chain, but Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken, which is not too far from Joe's on 47th Street, I think is pretty great. Charles rolled his eyes.
I think it's overrated, and it's a nice spicy chicken, but I don't think the side dishes are very good.
What I like about it is that you can order dark meat only. I'm not a huge white meat person,
right?
And usually you end up having to get both. So this way, I can just focus.
Well, dark meat is more flavorful
is.
And
yeah.
A little bit greasier. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, one of the things about Gus's that's different than some of the other suggestions is it really is not a fancy place at all. Does that matter for fried chicken? I mean, it does feel like fried chicken maybe is sort of that less, has a less fancy quality to it.
Well, you don't have to worry so much if you pick it up and make a mess.
Right. You don't feel any pressure to eat with a fork and knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank goodness. I'd be in trouble.
We've had a number of other good suggestions on Facebook and on Twitter. Several people actually mentioned a place in Brookside, the Red Door Wood Fire Grill. You guys familiar with their fried chicken?
I've eaten there, but I don't think I've had the fried chicken.
I haven't either, but they do it. It's a weekly special, I think.
I think that's right. I think that is right.
Yeah, Thursday nights, I think someone said. Carol Carol said that it was tender and flavorful with a lot more flavor than the other chicken places. That was Carol's view on the Red Door. Charles, what's another of your favorites?
This is, I think, a lesser known place here in Kansas City. Porsche's Cafe on East Truman Road, which, by the way, closes early, like 3 or 4-ish. But Porsche's Cafe is a little homestyle cafe. They only have fried chicken on Thursdays. And when they run out of it, you know, the waitresses will announce loudly that we're out of fried chicken.
I'm so glad you're recommending this place. I mean, they've been around a long time.
A long time.
Everyone loves their fried chicken.
And they have a world-class fried bird, I want to tell you, with real mashed potatoes, homemade gravy, green beans, bacon and onions, corn and two rolls. Very inexpensive and really a really darn good fried chicken lunch.
Oh, and that's on every day of the week? Or
no, just Thursdays.
Just Thursdays. All right, Porsche's Cafe on East Truman Road. Mary Block, another favorite of yours?
I think I might have to go with the chicken and waffles at Boulevard Tavern. Again, this is one of those where I thought, really? I don't know if I want that. But my son ordered it, and it's their chicken is fried with cornflakes, and it's on, actually, this was not waffles. It's on a biscuit with bourbon gravy. And I'm thinking, there is a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Sounds like breakfast.
And it was huge. And he didn't finish it, and I did. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Wow. Mm. But you like their chicken and waffles as well.
I misspoke. It is chicken on a biscuit.
Oh, okay.
They also do KFC chicken wings that are fried with a Korean paste that are very popular.
Messy.
Right. So that's a problem for me. But how about you, Jenny? What else would you recommend?
I'm going to recommend Sailor Jack's Snack Shack for their chicken. This is in the new, so where the Foundry was in Westport. This is basically a new concept, and it's a seafood concept.
Right, I thought it was a seafood place.
Yeah, it is. It's totally great lobster rolls, you know, fantastic fish and chips. But if in this particular case, if you go, you must try their Old Bay Spiced Campo Lindo, which is a local farm, Campo Lindo, fried chicken, and get their half chicken. It comes with a beautiful spicy slaw. It's got Creole dirty rice, and they serve it with their house-made hot sauce. And that Old Bay seasoning, oh my gosh, who knew that was good on chicken? Like, we've been eating it forever on seafood, but really good. And a cute place. They've done a nice job with the remodel. Everything looks great in there. I'm very high on them right now.
And they do not fry the chicken in the same oil as the fish, I trust.
No, it doesn't taste fishy. So I can't really vouch for the fact that they have a separate fryer, but maybe they do.
We've got a lot of tweets coming in, which raises another question. One of these tweets says, a chain, which may be blasphemy, but it's the truth, Popeyes.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
You can't say anything bad about Popeyes.
No.
Well, and then we had another suggestion from our one of our KCUR colleagues here. In fact, she's been hosting the show some this week, Michelle Tyreen Johnson, who had I'm going to let her recommendation for fried chicken speak for itself. Here's what she says. Michelle Tyreen Johnson, KCUR's race and culture reporter, Pizza Ranch?
I know, that sounds like an odd choice, but, you know, we Black people are picky about our fried chicken, and surprisingly, they have some of the best fried chicken in the town. I know that sounds crazy, but it really is true.
It does sound crazy. What makes it so good?
It's really crispy and really tasty, and apparently they use a pressure cooker. Now, am I saying that it is better than my grandmother's back when she used to cook, may she rest in peace, but hey, I mean, you know, for good fried chicken, I'd suggest the Pizza Ranch.
Michelle, have you ever stolen a piece of chicken from Pizza Ranch?
Brian, you better not put this on the air.
This KCUR's Michelle Tyreen Johnson. Any of our food critics sampled the Pizza Ranch fried chicken?
All I have to say is, what the what?
Yeah.
I mean, Pizza Ranch? We never had it, but
we will leave it at that.
If they say it's good.
Let's see. You mentioned earlier in passing, Mary, the possibility of chicken and waffles. That's one of the particular preparations that seems to be popular around town for fried chicken. What's so good about chicken and waffles, Mary?
You know, I guess there's a sweetness with the waffle, and getting a little of the maple syrup in with the chicken.
Well, it's also a textural thing. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, the crunchiness of the waffle of the chicken, the fluffiness of the waffle, preferably, and everything else. You know, it's a real dichotomy of taste and good taste.
It works, and I love the dish at Graham and Dunn, which they serve at brunch, and they make their own homemade hot sauce, and the hot sauce and the maple syrup, and it's just a really great combination.
Westport Cafe does another great chicken and waffle at brunch on the weekends. Delicious.
I think I've had it at Beer Kitchen as well, which is very good. Let's take a couple calls at 816-235-2888. We have a question from Sabrina in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi there.
Hello. What's your question?
I have lived in Kansas City for like 2.5 years now, and I, for the life of me, cannot find a gluten-free fried chicken. I know Lawrence and Topeka have this place called Henry T's, and they have like gluten-free chicken tenders and like actual breading on it, and it's delicious. But I don't know of anywhere in Kansas City that has anything similar. It seems like everything's grilled with gluten-free.
Uh-huh. I imagine that it can be done, but it might be challenging. Do our critics know of any gluten-free places, Charles?
You could tell me, caller, because you probably know this. There was for a while a Vietnamese restaurant in Lawrence that had, as part of the menu, a gluten-free fried chicken made with rice flour. And I remember it being delicious. I'm hoping somebody from Lawrence is listening and can tell us if that place I'm thinking of is still open. It was on Massachusetts Avenue, and it did get bang up business in carry out, but I don't know if they still have the fried chicken component of that restaurant.
All right. Anyone else? Any other ideas? All right. Well, Sabrina, we'll be on the hunt with you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Let's talk to Marlene in Prairie Village. Hello, Marlene.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
My suggestion is kind of, I don't know if you'd call it low class or what, but I think the Price Chopper at 95th and Mission has excellent fried chicken, and I've heard some of the other Price Choppers around town also have it. It's just good. It's crispy. It's not greasy. It has a great flavor, and it's very inexpensive.
All right. Price Chopper gets a shout out, 95th and Mission. Thank you so much, Marlene.
Thank you.
Again, fried chicken, different scales of kinds of fine dining that you might find surprisingly good choices at.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about supermarket fried chicken is it does sit for a while, which, you know, for some people that doesn't matter at all. And it does lose almost all of its moistness by the end of the night.
Well,
but yeah.
And the crispness of the skin. It's always
yes.
Sort of
well, sometimes the crispness is the only thing left.
But you could take it home and crisp it back up in the oven if you wanted to.
Right.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more of your picks for fried chicken in Kansas City, including less traditional renderings. What about when your fried chicken comes in or on top of or doused in something else? Keep letting us know your favorites at 235-2888 and stick around. KCUR Central Standard. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman. We are talking today about fried chicken with our food critics, Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, and Charles Ferruza. And we're talking with you at 816-235-2888. And Charles, I can't believe we've gotten this far in the show and we haven't mentioned what might be Kansas City's most iconic fried chicken place, Stroud's.
Stroud's, yeah. Which, you know, we should say that Stroud's started out as a speakeasy, you know, on the south side of town. When I think 85th Street was the south side of town. And it actually was a barbecue place in the beginning. It sold beef, barbecue, and beer. And it wasn't until Helen Stroud, the owner, it was during the Depression, I think it was 30 or 31, she saw that a store in Kansas City was selling 3 chickens for $1, which actually, that would have been a good price now.
Wow.
When you think about it. And So she bought a bunch of chickens, and they sold out immediately, and that was the end of beef barbecue at Stroud's. Mm-hmm. From that point on, it was a fried chicken restaurant, which was, you know, cheap to make and very popular, and you can't go wrong if people like your chicken.
They put on their signs, Stroud's pan-fried chicken. Is there something different about pan-fried versus deep-fried?
I think there's always been a snobbery about that because pan-fried chicken is very labor-intensive. A lot of people, myself included, would say that the very best fried chicken you can have is pan-fried, only because of the amount of work that goes into it. And if you're really good at pan-frying, you know, you can make some, of which I am not, make some very good chicken. But I think there's less snobbery right now about deep-fried chicken than there used to be. For one thing, deep-fryers, you know, don't... The chicken isn't greasy like it used to be. And then there's also pressure cooker chicken, fried chicken, which is maybe the most greaseless way of cooking chicken. And it's what broasted chicken is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take some. We have a full board of calls right now, so let's take some calls from listeners. How about Noah in Kansas City, Missouri? Hey, Noah.
You actually took the words right out of my mouth. I'm from the Missouri side, and I love Stroud's fried chicken. It is awesome. The one up north off of Brighton and Vivian, it's an old farmhouse. And when you walk through, you might walk up a hill to one part of the restaurant, walk down the hill to another part of the restaurant. It is awesome, the location.
Yeah.
And on the Kansas side, a little bit trashy, a little bit tacky, but amazingly good fried chicken is always go chicken go.
Huh? We've got that on the Missouri side too over here.
I'd probably get kicked for saying that, but they all know it. It's kind of like the gates of fried chicken. You know, you're not going in there for a gourmet meal. You're going in there for a good meal. And that's what I love about go chicken go.
Thanks. Can I put it as a shout out? What's even better than the fried chicken and go chicken go is the chicken livers. They have the best chicken livers in the city. Really
bargain. Oh yeah, they just melt in your mouth. They are awesome. So thank you guys so much for your time. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Noah. Appreciate it. And we have an answer to that question about gluten-free chicken from Nikki in Olathe. Hi, Nikki.
Good morning.
Yeah, what's your suggestion?
The gluten-free chicken nuggets at Strip's restaurant down here in Olathe. It's on East Santa Fe. It's a locally owned business, and they do chicken strips, nuggets, wings, and a pretty amazing pork tenderloin sandwich.
Appreciate it, and thank you. In fact, we have another gluten-free suggestion from Aria in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Aria.
Hey. Yeah, so that is a recent restriction of mine as well, and it was really hard to kind of look at that and be like, well, there goes all of my beer and fried chicken, right? But actually, you were mentioning earlier the Westport Beer Kitchen. They will bring out an entire menu, not like a part of the menu, like a full menu of gluten-free stuff, like appetizers and everything. And you can get your fried chicken, and you can also get some amazing mac and cheese to boot, and everything there for gluten-free. It's amazing.
Arya, do you have any idea how they're making what they're doing to the chicken to make it gluten-free?
You know, I don't ask. I just eat.
So that's generally my policy as well. Thank you so much for calling in. What have we missed, food critics? What places that you think we shouldn't end this show without mentioning?
Mary? I think we've got to mention Rye because they've got great fried chicken baskets at both locations. But the thing that captured my eye, the very first time I went to Rye on the Plaza, I'm sitting there with my salad, and I see this huge fried chicken sandwich go by. And I thought, okay, next time I'm getting that. And it's fabulous. The chicken's brined with dill and honey. You can order it mild or spicy. It's served with pickles, Dijonnaise, lettuce, and onions. And unless you're really hungry or plan on taking half of it home, you might want to share it. But it's an excellent sandwich.
I know another suggestion that some of you – well, actually, we have a caller, Lori in Olathe. Hi, Lori.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's your suggestion?
Well, okay, I got a comment about the Red Door, and then I've got a suggestion. My husband and I have always kind of thought we were fried chicken connoisseurs because I'm born and raised here and grew up with Stroud, so we just started trying new places. And we had gone to the Red Door, And by the time we had ordered and my husband went to the restroom, came back, they had served our meal, fried chicken, on Thursday. And we just said, no way. There, you cannot serve fried chicken that fast. So it must have been pre-made. So we kind of nixed that one off our list. But the next one is the North End on Saturday only. Their fried chicken is fabulous, and it just melts in your mouth. It's crunchy. It's served with potatoes and green beans and a roll. But just great, just fabulous.
The North End. Thank you, Lori. North End is on your list, Charles.
Yeah, it's in the old historic Italian neighborhood of Kansas City. It's only, as she said, a Saturday night special. And the dinners include mashed potatoes, green beans, and two pieces of garlic toast, which is my favorite part. A house salad costs extra, but it's well worth it. And it is a lovely, delicious, with a hint of garlic, fried chicken. I like it. And we should also put a shout out that Kansas City Italian restaurants almost always in the early days of almost every one that's still going, like Casconi's or Jasper's, they all serve fried chicken at
the
beginning.
Why is that?
Because Italian food in the days after World War II was still considered pretty exotic and weird. So fried chicken was alluring to patrons.
Yeah, several people actually have written in mentioning Casconi's, and I know that's one that you're a fan of as well.
And I'm talking not about the full service Casconi's restaurant, but the grill,
yes,
which I guess is also full service in the City Market, and they only have a fried chicken on Thursdays, and it's a great deal, by the way, really a good deal.
One of the other things we should mention with fried chicken is that sometimes fried chicken in a salad is what people want, at least tricking themselves into thinking they're eating healthy. Jenny, where's a good place to go for chicken salad?
So I put out on Facebook a couple of weeks ago that I contend that Bill's Chicken Salad at the Grand Street is what connects all of us in Kansas City to each other. It is less than 7 degrees of separation. This is a famous salad that was made famous by Bill Crooks, who is also the owner of PB&J's and now has a stake in Chicken and Pickle, which is the pickleball court with fabulous chicken as well.
Mm-hmm.
This salad sits on every menu that Bill touches. Every chef that comes through any of those kitchens takes that salad with it. It is all over Kansas City, and done well and not done not so well. But I think Grand Street is kind of the original place, and that's where you have to go and get it. But I should mention, it's coconut. Mm-hmm. So it is chicken tenders that basically has coconut, like a coconut batter that it's fried in, and then it's chopped up and put in this kind of...
It's not an obnoxious coconut batter.
No,
it's not. It's not heavy-duty coconut.
It's sweet. It lends some sweetness to it, but it's still crunchy like fried chicken. It's absolutely delicious.
I know you're a fan as well, Mary.
For the same reason that Jenny is, you can't have a list and not mention it. It's iconic. But the sandwich I want to try at Grand Street that I've never seen on their menu. It's a fried chicken sandwich with pimento cheese, pickles, Brussels sprouts, slaw, mustard dressing on a Hawaiian sweet roll.
All right, I'm having that for lunch.
Yeah, it sounds great.
We've decided at the last minute. Now we know what Jenny's having.
Done.
Interesting other sorts of things people have with their chicken or varieties of preparation of chicken. We had a suggestion on Facebook for Boru Ramen, the komatsu chicken, Jennifer says, is delicious. And as far as those one-day-a-week places, Charles mentioned a lot of the fried chicken specials are one day a week. Oddly enough, Record Bar on Wednesdays apparently has a really good fried chicken. That's according to KCUR's Lisa Rodriguez. So suggestions coming in from all over. Let's take one more call. Jeff in Kansas City, Missouri. Hello.
And good morning. Thanks for talking about fried chicken, one of my favorite topics.
Very quickly, what's your suggestion?
Johnny's Donuts and Hamburgers over on Prospect. You'd never guessed it, but he fries it fresh. It's crunchy. Takes on a slight bit of sweetness from, because I think he does use the same fryers for the donuts as he does the fried chicken, but it's really good fried chicken. Johnny knows what he's doing, so.
Huh.
But you can go get glazed donut, fried chicken, and a really good cheeseburger at 8:30 in the morning. So he does his full lunch menu from the beginning. So.
Well, I was hungry, but now I'm not sure I am again. Jeff, thank you so much for calling.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And thanks to our food critics. What a interesting trip around the fried chicken world this has been. Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, thank you guys so much as always.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we will put all of their suggestions, the ones they shared, the ones they didn't get to, and your suggestions, our listeners' picks as well. It'll all be online at kcur.org. That's also where you can get the audio of today's show and all our other shows as well. kcur.org/Central Standard. On Monday, Central Standard will be off eating fried chicken, but you can tune in for special programming, so join us Monday at 10, and we'll be back on Tuesday. In the meantime, if you can't get enough of our interviews about what makes the Midwest so Midwesternish, check out the podcast by that name, hosted by Gina Kaufman, and get Midwesternish wherever you get your podcasts, or download episodes at kcur.org. This show is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, and Coy Duggar. This week, we've also had help from Linda Scher. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. Gina's back next week. I'm Brian Ellison. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Stay tuned for Up to Date.